Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Much better. I really want to thank you. I know it's been a long week, lots of slides, lots of keynotes, lots of walking around. So definitely thank you for making the effort to come to this session this morning. Now, this is actually not a session. It's meant for you to ask any questions about Office 365 group. So hopefully it will be interactive. If you can either move close to a mic, either on the left or on the right, or shout out the questions and we'll repeat it and answer it. So again, what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna be kind of like the moderator, the bad cop, and I wanna make this fluid. You know, I don't want, hopefully if you can keep your questions fairly short, and then one question per person, and then we can run robin. And I've also asked this esteemed panel of experts to also keep their answer short so we can hopefully do answer a lot of questions. So quick round of introductions, and I'll just seed the questions with common ones we've heard at the booth or at sessions this week. So you got Eric Zenz, who's on the Office 365 Group's engineering team. So think of that as representing Microsoft.
Thanks, Christophe.
Big task. Then you get Martina and his team, Office 365 MVP out of Europe.
Good morning.
And then last but not least, we've got the whole Asia Pacific represented with Daryl Webster from New Zealand, another his team, Office 365 MVP.
Office Servers and Services MVP.
I forgot about that.
Say that 10 times without getting tongue-tied.
And I guess I should, and I'm Christophe. I'm on the Office 365 engineering team. I'm also a Microsoft person, but I'll try not to answer the questions. Those guys will. So let me seed with a couple questions. Is Office 365 Groups replacing SharePoint? Is Office 365 Groups replacing Yammer? And the list goes on and on. So anyone's got a questions, or should we start answering right there? Okay, so let me repeat the question, and then you guys, whoever wants to pick it up. So the question is, what are the biggest challenges you've seen with setting up groups, in particular with a hybrid environment where you've got, I guess, Active Directory on premises?
One of the things that you have to consider is how you want to use it from an Exchange point of view. At the moment, for on-prem, you're able to communicate with a group in sort of a DL fashion. But if you want that full experience of conversations, files, planner, you really need to have that person or those people based in Office 365. So that's one of the key challenges I see.
Another one can be that in SharePoint and you don't have the full experience if users are not ready or are not already using SharePoint and the SharePoint features there. So also what I see from our customers, if they have still Outlook 2013, they don't get the experience as well with a new client if they're in a hybrid environment.
Yeah, I'd say the only nuance that I'd add to those answers is it is a DL-like experience, but it is a DL++ in that, of course, you get like files with it, which is something that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten with a normal distribution list. But you know, it's new stuff, so it's change management.
Good questions. Next one. Go ahead. Okay. Before I repeat the questions, I think since we're being recorded, if you can ask the questions on the mic, I think it's going to be a lot better for the recording after the fact. But let me repeat the question. So the question again was along hybrid. I got obviously on-premises, Active Directory. I got Azure Active Directory, which is our solution, Microsoft, our identity provider in the cloud. What solutions are you looking, and how does this work with on-premises and cloud directory?
Yeah, so... well, there's... I don't think there's so much a recommendation as an answer. For a hybrid configuration, Office 365 groups are always created and mastered in Office 365. And so they get to on-premises by way of AD Connect's write-back feature. So basically, they would get to your on-premises users directory, the global address list, by way of AD Connect with write-back. They synchronize down as distribution lists, and so the on-premises users will, you know, see them in their global address list. They'll be able to send mail to them directly with no loss. That requires current CUs of Exchange 2013 on-premises as well as Exchange or Exchange 2016. So 2016 CU1, and I think it's 2013 CU11.
But again, just to be very clear, Office 365 groups are born in the cloud objects. There's no such thing as those on-premises. So what Eric described, which is a very common use case, is to bring that definition on-premises. They're always going to be mastered in the cloud.
Yeah. It's okay. Just to make sure your on-premises users can see them and interact with them. So that's what that's their shape in the on-premises directory.
Okay. Let's pick one on the left.
Hi, guys. It's just a quick one. Could you expand a little bit on the retention of groups when they're obviously deleted? Because at the moment, it's fairly final. How that pertains to e-discovery, legal hold, and basically all the retention and document and email retention policies that go along to it. So I know pretty much what they are now. It'd be good to know what the thought is around, you know, where those things are going.
Yeah, sure. So to repeat briefly, tell me about what are the retention policies, legal hold, e-discovery available for groups today, and what are we doing in the future?
Sure. So eDiscovery is fully supported on Office 365 groups today. You just need to specify a search against the mailbox entity separate from the files, because a group is made of a mailbox and a site. Retention and deletion policies aren't supported on the Office 365 group today, but we gave a session Tuesday at 4 o'clock by a guy named Deepak, who demonstrated what that capability would look like when it's released through their preview program this fall and then to general availability next year, early next year. So it's definitely in the tape if you want to see it. My session also kind of hinted at it. But that's the current state of the world.
And Eric, if I just want to add something to that, I had a good talk with a friend, Simon, last night about what does that look like? You know, if you wanted to keep that content, how would that look for archiving? And I think that if you're wanting to keep it there and active or there in a read-only state, I think it's better to have that content still available. Like, what would be the purpose of deleting that group? If it's based on a project number or something that's going to persist, you'd want it to still be there. So I'd like to hear what that looks like.
So there's some. There's some PII regulations where you have to delete things after a certain amount of time. So we have to be able to, for example, if it's customer addresses in a database, if they're held in email, they have to be as discoverable as anything else and also have to be deleted and managed in that way. And at the moment, it's slightly more challenging to do that through the eDiscovery view than it is for standard email and SharePoint content.
Okay. So Mike on the right.
Does group storage count against the 1 terabyte storage limit of SharePoint Online tenant? Does like the group, the OneDrive in the document library?
Group storage takes from pooled storage. So whatever your tenant quota is for SharePoint sites, because groups create SharePoint sites, the group's files take from that quota. The group's mailbox is quoted at 50 gigabytes, but the sites consume from pooled storage.
And is there a way to view how much storage the groups are taking up on the UI, or does it have to be by PowerShell?
Newly, yes, in the UI. So if you go to the Office 365 Report Center, it should be live in your tenant already. When you go to, there's a report in there for site activity, and then there's a sub-report under that that filters for groups, and you can, the column is displayed of file usage, as well as you can add the current quota as a column. So you can really use that to get an idea of what hotspots there are, and then understand deeply what the use is in those sites to see if it's something that you like or something that you don't, and so then apply quota as necessary.
You can't look at it on the SharePoint administrator view?
No, group site collections don't appear in the site collection admin view because there's a lot of stuff that you could do to the underlying group site collection that would be potentially harmful to the group. And because the group's files are such an integral piece of the group, we wanted to centralize the management activities of the group and not let you sort of poke at the site in a way that might be detrimental.
So is there a permission outside of Global Administrator that the SharePoint admin could be part of to see the view of the group storage?
I think you can have that as a service administrator that you get access to the report in the UI.
Okay. Thank you.
And I have to add something about the reporting because we have the reports available in the GUI recently. So what we did is we built us a PowerShell script which combines the activity on Exchange and the activity on SharePoint Online. And then we get a pretty nice list where we see which are active groups, how many storage is used, and so on, and how the naming policies work on that groups. I can share it on my GitHub, yes.
We'll make sure we share that script.
Yeah.
Good feedback. And by the way, we only have 45 minutes, but we'll hang around if there's any more questions or if you want to go deeper. So questions on the left?
With the write-back feature in the AD Connect tool, if you convert a group in a hybrid scenario, if you convert a security or a distribution group to an Office 365 group, do the members of the group sync back to on-premise or just the... Does it just sync the group, or does it keep the members updated as well?
The group plus membership. So the entity that comes down, it looks on premises as a distribution list, and you can see the membership in the card in Outlook.
Okay, and that works if you've converted the group as well to an Office 365 group. It was an existing group that's being replicated to Azure AD. You convert it to an Office 365 group. Will it then sync back the members?
Yeah, once a group is upgraded to an Office 365 group, so a distribution list, once you make that into an Office 365 group, it's a different object entirely. And so when that thing syncs back down to premises, it's almost equivalent to syncing a distribution list that's mastered in Office 365 down to premises. So it,
okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, okay. That sounds great.
Yep.
Good morning. Now that groups get a full SharePoint site, are we going to start to transition away from the OneDrive branding for the files in the site? And if not, why not?
Yes.
Next question.
Is there a construct to manage the 365 groups similar to as we used to with DLs in the Exchange environment? So with distribution lists, it used to be that the admins would create the group, and then we could add members, create a owner, and then delegate that membership down to the owner. That's sort of changed now. I understand because you want Delve to be able to see it. It's sort of open. But we're interested in sort of locking it down a bit and governing it that way. Do you have mechanism there to be able to do that?
So I could answer the how, and why don't you guys take the when, maybe. So there is PowerShell for managing the set of users that can create Office 365 groups. You use setmsol settings to perform that action, and you basically pass it an AD security group that includes the people that you want to create groups. I gave a session where the setup was like, if you want to manage a pilot of Office 365 groups, that's how you would manage the rollout. It's available in the service today for all customers.
But again, just to be the bad cop there, groups by nature are designed for self-service, so you're not adding friction, and you don't have to wake up at night and create yet another marketing group or another whatever. So by nature, they're self-service. Yes, you can report, but you're not standing in the way. Yes, you could always go and add members if you want because you're the tenant admin, right. But the goal was to empower the users to create whatever team, projects, community of interest they need to get work done.
Yeah, I understand that construct, but we're in government, and we've got public health information. We don't want doctors just...
No, that's fair.
Putting PHI in there.
That's fair.
All right.
So what I see in practice is that many companies start to build kind of a workflows for creating groups out of that capability.
Yeah, this is just a quick question about the functionality of Planner and managing tasks. compared to the experience inside Outlook. Is there any thought about trying to merge or convert the current tasks usage in Outlook, which generally speaking is used, I would imagine, for most of us very little, whereas you could see people using that much more in Planner, to try to take that experience and move that back into the Outlook client in a way and upgrade what was there from 15 years ago?
So I'll take this one. I'll be the bad cop. But so the question is about Planner and Outlook task. At the high level, I'll give you the pitch of where we're heading with task management at Microsoft. For personal task management, we acquired a company called Wunderlist out of Germany. And that's our move forward for when Christoph wakes up in the morning, whether he's got to pick up laundry, go attend my session, whatever, whether it's my wife who assigned me a task or my colleague. So personal task management answer going forward is Wunderlist. For Haddock team collab, then that's obviously Planner. And for high-end project portfolio management, that is Project Online, what we had historically with Project Server and SharePoint. Will we connect those assets over time? Absolutely. Will it connect with Outlook tasks? You know, this is obviously something we're looking at. Believe it or not, you know, a lot of the newer workforce aren't using Task in Outlook anymore. They're using different tools like the one I mentioned. So again, the reason I answer that is don't confuse my personal task management with team task management or with project portfolio management. So Planner, I wouldn't use Planner to do my laundry list of tasks I need to do. I'd do that to say, hey, you know, Martina and Daryl, here's how we're gonna run this session. Let's put a couple tasks on the board.
And with Wunderlist, you can also sign in with your Office 365 credentials, so you get a really nice experience. You can add it to the app launcher and have it there.
Hi, in my company, we have we are expanding on SharePoint Online and OneDrive in 365, but still Exchange and also Skype are on-premise on a private cloud. So what is the best user experience, assuming they cannot create groups from Exchange until they move it to the cloud? What is the best user experience you can propose to use groups if it's possible for users?
Yeah, your best experience really is to have that user as an Office 365 user. They need to have that to have the cool.
Yeah, he is, but only for SharePoint.
Say it again?
So they are, but only for SharePoint and not for Exchange.
Yeah. So it is about a complete experience. If you wanted to have that full experience of conversations, files, etc. Yeah.
So basically, you can't until you are migrating Exchange, basically.
So right now, there's no creation entry point in SharePoint for an Office 365 group. As SharePoint rolls out the group skit sites functionality, the creation of a self-service site creation effectively creates
that
a group.
Will be. Yeah.
And then the world that you're in is the world that we were talking about earlier with hybrid users whose mailboxes are on-premises, whose experience is a DL++ experience.
Right.
So right now, though, there's less, there's not as convenient a way to create those groups in the service.
Okay, that was more than I expected. Thank you.
Hi. I understand that when you create a group in Outlook, you get an Outlook group messaging experience. If you create the group in Yammer, you get the Yammer messaging experience. For those of us who work in places where people use both all the time for the same group of humans, I understand that you said it's the user experience that might be confusing if you have two different messaging engines. Can you help me understand why you think that's confusing and why we couldn't ever have the opportunity for the same group of humans to have both a Yammer experience and an Outlook messaging experience?
Okay. So I think the feedback that we built, that we reacted to as we built it the way that we did, was that customers didn't want their communication to have an opportunity to get lost in one channel versus the other. So a team that comes together sort of by the act of creating that group somewhat voted implicitly what type of modality that team wants to communicate on. And so that's why it is a bit of it's an either or at the point of inception. So the same group of humans probably actually has few groups, a few project groups that they work on. And so if there is one project group that, for whatever reason, say it's a project group that has internal customer stakeholders that they want to keep in the loop, and they want to participate in Yammer's discovery. That project group sounds like a great project group to create from the Yammer experience, you know. Or maybe the team has a different project group with an external stakeholder that they want to keep in the loop via email. That project group seems like a great one to create from an Outlook endpoint. And so really it was just about the decision of not wanting to over-index on allowing the choice and making everyone choose. It was really providing the choice up front so that teams kind of voted implicitly.
And Amy, what I see with customers is that they get confused if they have two conversation channels, and that might be helpful to have a decision. Should we use a Yammer group or an Office 365 group? And I would go that way, that if you're already using Yammer a lot, it's probably better to go in that direction and use Yammer for other groups. Or if you're already in groups, then you stay in groups.
The way to think about it is like email. You know, we celebrated sometime this week over 2 decades of Exchange, and a lot of the workforce have some expectation with their Outlook on what goes in their inbox. And rocking that world was going to be pretty significant just because of the sheer and the history of email users in the enterprise. So that was also something we took into consideration.
Do I need to be the bad cop for you, Christoph?
Yeah. Okay, left.
Hi. So I've got 3 questions. First one, looking at 365 groups as the future for collaboration, what are our options now for what we are using for collaboration, such as public folders, to move public folder contacts into Office 365? What are the options?
So groups today don't have a contacts list in them. If you're talking about moving some kind of membership structure, of course we have members, but we don't have contacts. There are a number of partners in the community who have public folder migration tools. We don't have any native tooling for public folder migration into Office 365 yet, if that was your second question.
No. So the second question I heard is that we need Exchange 2013 when we are operating in a hybrid mode. Is the Exchange 2013 itself is needed, or if we have just the schema updated for Exchange 2013, is that would that suffice for the hybrid?
You need 2013 CU11 specifically, and the reason is there's logic in transport that actually helps the mail deliver to the cloud, so that the cloud will then deliver it to the subscribers of the group. And if you don't, the mail will hit your on-premises transport and then just send out like a distribution list. It never makes it into the group mailbox.
So if I use a CU11 bits and just upgrade the schema, would that be okay?
We do have extensive documentation, so maybe we can follow up and we give you the link that has the nitty-gritty, and if there's anything else missing, we can follow up.
We can assure that the documentation as written works. I can't assure that something off the documentation would work.
Okay. All right. So the next question is, right now, 365 groups are based out of distribution list as the object. Because now that we're opening it up for external access, people from outside the organization can come inside and drop emails. Will at some point this will turn out to a mailbox folder where we can have full experience and reduce noise with features such as clutter or focused inbox?
Well, the Office 365 group is actually a mailbox in the cloud. It's not a distribution list. In time, I think our roadmap is for a guest user to be able to participate as fully and richly as a user in your enterprise, and being able to see that context and history in the mailbox. They get access to the site because SharePoint has some richer support for guest access already. So it is on our roadmap to sort of increase the experience for the guest user vis-a-vis the mailbox.
So all those emails that are coming through will go through the regular anti-spam protection and everything from outside?
Yes, yeah.
All right, my last question.
There's a pile of questions over here, though.
I'll wait.
Hey.
Sure.
Hi. So yesterday, I learned that it's now possible to prevent users from creating Office 365 groups, and you can set PowerShell and enable that. So that's great, actually. That's what we want in our company. But we also know that when you create a plan in a planner, it spins off an Office 365 group. Is that going to prevent that from happening, or is that going to just run into errors when we have set a policy at the top level from users not creating Office 365 groups?
This was, in fact, a big issue for many customers, that they disable group creation through Exchange, and then people get creative and do that through Planner, and then you disable Planner, and then people are more creative and create, got to the direct link of Planner and create the groups there. But gladly, since 1 week, there is a solution available, and so you can disable group creations through Azure AD and fill in a security group, which is afterwards able to create other groups.
So if we block the creation of Office 365 groups, you can go in through Planner and still create groups, is that what you're saying? Or
no. If the way that you block Office 365 group is using the set MSOL settings PowerShell,
yeah,
then any creation anywhere is blocked.
Power BI, yeah. REST API, any endpoint right. that creates group is shut off. SharePoint.
And you will, and the users will still be able to create a plan in Planner. It just won't create a group in the background.
No. So a plan is a group, and a group has a plan.
Okay. So we can't use Planner then.
Yeah, because a plan is effectively a list of membership to which you assign tasks, and you would want reasonably communication, file sharing, et cetera. And so, no, you wouldn't. You get no plans with.
Is there anything on the roadmap to make the plan work?
No. So it's our ambition that Office 365 groups present the tools consistently that a team would reasonably need to get their work done. And so anytime we have some conditional logic in there, that's actually like cost of ownership that gets pushed down to you when a customer calls up and says, hey, I can't do X with my group, and now you have to go through the decision tree to ask, you know, what subvariant of a group this thing is. So.
I mean, okay. Thank you. Again, you get a great problem. You got users that want to use 365 instead of using third-party, non-approved, non-secure service. So you should go talk to those people that are using Planner, maybe learn, and maybe you can expand that. You know, Planner comes at no additional cost. Leverage it instead of disabling it.
To use Planner, but not proliferation of Office 365 groups. So we want to control the creation of Office 365 groups so that the end users can't really just go left, right, and center, start creating Office 365 groups, but still be able to create Planner. But obviously, if we block the creation of Office 365 groups, that blocks the whole Planner application.
Yeah, that blocks Power BI and that blocks right. SharePoint. So anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, so you could centrally manage creation of the groups that people need, or you know, an empowered set of users could create those plans as they needed. And you can transfer ownership to a set of users so that they can manage their membership. But yeah, there is no plan without a group.
So I have 5 questions. Just kidding. So could you talk a little bit about multi-domain support? We're in a education institution, and we're kind of considering students being in one domain when they create groups, and employees would be in a different domain as they create a group.
I tried to pawn this one off, but we have. So if you were to just Bing for multi-domain support for Office 365 groups, we wrote a white paper about correct configuration. Your options are: some customers create groups in a .groups.tenant.com domain. Some customers will, and we also have the capability that when a user whose domain is, you know, at organizationa.contoso.com, a group will create in the organization A domain. But the setup instructions to make that happen are all, they're all in the multi-domain support documentation.
Perfect. Your use case is supported.
Yes.
We got a white paper for this.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you.
Hi, I have some questions around groups and Microsoft Graph. So I'm wondering, when will groups pop up in Dalb?
Okay. So the question is, when will group files, sort of, when will group content appear in Delve?
Right.
We're increasing the integration with Delve in time. I think we're you'll see that the group sort of group data will help power the Office 365 graph, and the graph will take a deeper role in Office 365 groups. I don't have any specific timelines to share. Just watch this space for future updates, I guess. But it is very important to our team to expand support and really help users connect with the content that's in the groups. That's a big part of the vision of Office 365 groups being public by default in the UI. So I don't have any dates.
So soon or later?
That is a true statement, yes, sooner or later.
Let's ask your last question, and then we'll go all right-hand side. And
so it's just adding towards the disabling of Office 365 groups. So at this moment, if we disable the groups, but it still shows up in the client interface, whether it's Outlook or OWA, will there be any improvements to just make them disappear from the interface? Because it's just we disable it, people still see it, they try go on there, and it creates a lot of noise as well. So will there be any improvements to completely take them off from the interface?
With to run the risk of having a really long answer, why?
We're not totally against groups. We are into groups, but there is certain requirements for certain business units that they shouldn't be using any of those features. And it's just an exception that we would like to see it.
So I think the short answer is you can control who gets to create an Office 365 group, but because an Office 365 group may exist that includes someone as a member, it didn't make as much sense to completely paper over Office 365 groups throughout the suite experience. And so if a user is a member of an Office 365 group, then they will see groups. If they don't, then app to app, there are some variants, but they're essentially there's a no presence in some apps, or a header with nothing in it in other apps, or links to the discovery app, the discovery experiences to find groups that may exist and may be relevant to them. But yeah, it's just it didn't make sense to us to just completely paper over them because an admin can still create an Office 365 group.
So my question's around SharePoint and the new ability to see the sites, and that's restricted, that you don't, group management is really supposed to be happening in Azure AD, so you don't have the advanced components to manage SharePoint for that group. What's the capability of creating an Office 365 group, creates a SharePoint site, creating a SharePoint site, will create an Office 365 group? How do I create a SharePoint site online and get full functionality and not get restricted?
So the vastness of other SharePoint stuff still exists. So you can still, through the site collection administration, you can still go in and create, you could call it an unassociated site collection of whatever template you wanted. So if you wanted to create a portal, a record center, or any of the more traditional SharePoint assets, that's still available to you as an administrator. The self-service site creation UI is the UI that is more tuned towards group collaboration, because that is what self-service site creation was for.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, just a quick one. Could you talk a little bit about any integration coming with Power BI? And the, I guess I was just thinking that, obviously if you start to bring the SharePoint site in, while you can embed the Power BI dashboards into a SharePoint site, it looks a little clunky. I was wondering if there was anything that could sort of align a Power BI session seamlessly into a group view.
I can start with the high level for everyone. Power BI since July of last year, so it's been almost 18 months. You can create beautiful dashboard in Power BI, and that stays on Vega mobile app. And you can create this notion of a workspace. A workspace is an Office 365 group. When you create a workspace, you get a full, pretty soon a full team site, you get an inbox, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the integration with Power BI that we shipped over a year ago. The latter, I don't know. I mean, I think the immersive experience for a dashboard is Power BI. Why would you shove one world into another if you already have an awesome experience across tablet, across web?
It kind of comes down to, you know, the idea of, I think one of the things when I talk to customers that, that makes groups so powerful is the fact that they're a consolidated place where everything lives, right? I don't have to go to other sites. Okay. And also, from an IT security perspective, they like the idea of everything being held in one place. So it's really a user experience point of view. And like you say, the dashboards exist in Power BI. I get the fact that you could move out to them, but it's having that sort of one view of the data.
Yeah, I don't think I can comment on the additional Power BI capabilities that are coming out with SharePoint, but we can definitely follow up. So.
Yeah. Hi. So there are many places to create Office 365 groups. You have Yammer, Power BI, Outlook, now SharePoint, Planner. Is there going to be a unified experience for the user? I mean, every way to create them in all these different applications, you have a different interface, a different feel.
I have had that question in another form. In the sense that someone said, where is the groups tile in the app launcher? Has anyone else had that question? Yeah. So, I mean, my response to that and to your question really is, the aim of a group is to try and make you be able to work from wherever you are, whatever context that is. If you're an organization that uses Yammer, the pieces of groups are there. If you're in Planner, the pieces of groups are there. So it's not so much that you go one place to create it, unless, of course, you're an admin and you want to go into Azure AD and the control panels, but being able to just work from where you are so that you're not having to find those pieces. They're there for you and within reach. Does that answer your question? Sort of.
Yeah, I definitely take the feedback that, consistency is always good for helping people learn behaviors, and so people do expect that even in the context of creating a plan and planner, you would reasonably expect consistency in experiences creating and navigating among groups. And it's definitely something that we work with teams internally on to provide enough guidance to help them ensure consistency to keep their users working well on the platform, but not such prescriptive guidance that, planner gets we basically earmark 8,000 pixels worth of header and planner that they just have to deal with. So it's an ongoing area for improvement, I think, for ensuring consistency. So thanks for the feedback on that.
Cool, thank you.
6 minutes. Go ahead.
Can you give any advice on how to move groups into tenancy for a merger, acquisition, divestment when we're moving between tenancies?
There are third-party tools that allow you to migrate content between groups. So are you meaning between tenants? You have a customer that you would use third-party tools to get that content.
If we bought a company that's used them, we want to bring them in lock, stock.
A merger and acquisition or a divestiture scenario. There are third-party tools that would help with those scenarios. I think the platform improvements overall in Office 365 for those scenarios are planned. I don't have any more roadmap to share other than that, but there's definitely a whole host of folks downstairs that'd be willing to help you out on that.
And if you do a tenant-to-tenant migration and use any third-party tool yet, there is no migration for planner data yet available.
Another functionality of groups is calendar, and we have team sites that have calendars as well, but we can overlay calendars in SharePoint. Do you plan any overlays for groups calendars, or is it Exchange that we can overlay calendars, or how we can train our users?
So within the within the calendar view, you can overlay all the group calendars you're a member of on top of your own personal calendar as well. There's not yet any sort of web part experience for placing the group calendar into a team site. It's something we're considering as we, you know, as the SharePoint site of an the previously underlying site collection for a SharePoint site of a group gets more exposed.
It sounds like there's a lot of itching to bring a lot of content back into the SharePoint team site that's going to be made available, you know, embedding various things. So, yeah, interesting to hear that from the audience.
Thank you. When a site gets created from the group creation process, the site provisioning, can you allow for specific things to be provisioned when that happens surrounding the metadata you'd like to see on a document library, for example?
So presently, the site collection that gets created from a specific and unique there is one template. I don't want to speak for the SharePoint team's roadmap and when they'll... Sure, yeah.
Yeah, our guidance from the SharePoint side right now is you should avoid doing heavy customization to the default document library of the team site, which is where your group files go, because there are so many dependencies across other Office 365 experiences for that library. As those teams innovate, they may impact what the customizations you've done. So if you have ECM needs, including metadata, create a custom document library in the SharePoint site to support those needs. And let the group files be sort of the collection of files that don't need those extra layers of ECM.
Yeah, but I think as far as getting one of those document libraries into a site, presently, like, somebody would put those into a site collection, like, themselves off a list creation. And so we don't yet expose the ability to customize the underlying site template for that group to put those in by default.
Okay, 3 minutes.
Hi, quick question. It's regarding copy. So is there any functionality coming up to be able to copy files or folders between groups? Even if it is just one or two folders, right? Or files, because right now you could, let's say I have a file in my, you know, within my team, and then I want to just copy it somewhere else.
Yeah, so that is coming. If you've also gone along to some of the OneDrive sessions or SharePoint sessions, you've seen a lot expanded in that experience of being able to copy content around.
Okay.
So that is expected to be added as well.
Okay, but not with a sync, not by using the sync client, right?
No, not necessarily by using the sync. And I would expect to try and do that cloud-based anyway. If you've got a lot of content, then I'd rely on Microsoft to provide that tool so you don't have to sync it back down, sync it back up again.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yep. Oops, left. We can do it. 2 minutes.
So just on the, as we move to the team site being the group, will we be able to, in that default library, do out-of-box and SharePoint Designer workflows on the group content?
Yeah, it's coming. Repeating the answer from my helpful friend from SharePoint, we don't exactly customizations on the default library would present challenges to the other integrations with the Office 365 group. So apply those to another document library in the group site.
Hi, I like what you are doing with groups right now. I just wanted to have a clarification. If you provision a group and you get the SharePoint site, it's my understanding that you then do write permission through the group interface to assign members and owners. Is it still possible, and should you manage permissions in the SharePoint site as well?
So in the SharePoint site, I believe you'd be able to do some granular permissions, but coming back to that default library, that's where everyone can access. You don't necessarily go into a folder and say, only Dan can access that one, but everyone else can. So that there'll be a lot more capabilities in the full team site experience for those granular permissions.
But membership is centrally managed, so if you add a member to the group, they will get contributor access on the site, and they will have access to all the other workloads. So for great project collaboration experiences, add members. In the one-off cases where you need to share a file with, you know, a lawyer outside of your team and you don't want to invite a lawyer to your team, then you could still do per item sharing. It's just SharePoint.
Perfect timing, 11 seconds over time. Again, we're going to be sticking around and definitely want to field any additional questions or the one you were scared to ask. So with that, thank you very much for attending this panel. Enjoy the rest of the day.